No, I've been sick. Nope, Landon. Landon's sick. Landon. Soon to be Dawson, I'm sure. And soon to be Claire, I'm sure. Let's see. Soon to be Sarah, I'm sure.
Hey, we got to ring the bell today. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here. Getting close to Christmas. So today at 4 o'clock at the Methodist Church is the Bells of the Cascades. So we went to one in the summer, and it was just gorgeous. We loved it. And so I'm excited to go to Christmas. They're going to be a Christmas fun. So today, 4 o'clock at the Methodist Church, and anybody, we can all sit together. We'll try and save seats because they don't take reservations. So anyway, I'm excited to go. I think we'll have a good time. We have the food pantry and gleaners. They come at, they open the food at 11 o'clock, and it doesn't take long for it to go, so I haven't talked to Sherry lately, but anyway, I'm excited for them to be able to share. They're apparently going to do Christmas boxes again for it, like they did the Thanksgiving boxes, but they haven't asked us to sign up for anything, so.
She's already got all the hands paid for the evening, so stay full inside.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. That'll be good. All right. We also have our Zoom prayer gathering. And every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And it's a great time to just pray for each other. And if you can't get on, if you want to just text me a message or some pastor a message or something, like, you'll be sure and pray for it if you can't get on yourself. And is that it? Oh, well, there it is. You can go to the website to, and it clicks right on. You just hit prayer meeting and it goes right to Zoom. So it's perfect. And remember to check the mailboxes back there and see if you have any Christmas cards. So I know people are bringing them, so be sure and check it. And we have the list of people in the narthex if you needed a list of who's with the church. And if you have a card for Lori or Marie and Dan, you can either give it to Donna or I, because we know we'll be there to see them. So they'll be tickled to get a card. A monthly potluck, January 7th. So we'll celebrate the new year on January 7th. Starting in January, during church service, we're going to open our hymnals, and you guys are going to pick the songs. So that'll be kind of fun. So the first Sunday of each month is going to be a hymn sing Sunday. So I think that will happen. So you can pick your favorite song for us to sing. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the sunshine right now. And you have just blessed us so much. And we just lift this service up to you, Lord. We lift the songs up to you, the Advent up to you. We lift Pastor up to you, Lord, and what you have put on our heart to share with us. We thank you that we have this time that we can go and just be worshiping you and praising you, Lord, because you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you, and we just thank you for a baby Jesus that came for us. And we just give it all over to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Advent. Oh, Susie. It's Susie.
Last week. You were last week.
Whoa. How to find hope on a long, silent night. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. I sit alone near the window at the end of a long December day, my weary frame wrapped in a wordless sigh and a plush red blanket. The wintry woods beyond the glass are as quiet as my children who sleep down the hall. Moonbeams mingle with the twinkling lights of our Christmas tree, and starlight waltzes with the shadows on the floor. I take a deep breath and seek solace in the silence, but my heart refuses to rest in the hallowed hush. For years, when my wee ones filled the nights with wails, I dreamed of a quiet like this. But what I didn't know then, when my midnight hours thrummed to the rhythm of sniffling sighs and colicky cries, is that children aren't the only ones who can fill the night with clamor. Sometimes the quiet quakes noisy too. Doubts drowned out by the drone of the day can resurrect with a ruckus in the lull of night. Fear can run wild when our feet finally slow, and worry can howl reckless in the hush. It's in the quiet where we often come face to face with our questions. Do I really believe that God is good? Does he truly see my needs and hear my prayers? Do I trust him enough to obey when it doesn't make sense? Will his promise hold firm even in when my hope falls short? It is in the quiet where we learn to fight for faith. So I shift my eyes from that twinkling tree to the Bible on my lap, and I read aloud from those treasured pages. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." God's word dangles in the air, like the velvet stockings hanging hopeful on my mantle. I close my eyes and try to listen to the truth of Scripture rather than the squall of my own soul. I imagine the hope of heaven landing on the dust of earth, the squeals of fright and the blaze of light, the angels' declaration and the shepherds' worry and confusion. And I ask Jesus to show me something new in this familiar account of the very first Christmas. Then all at once I see through a haze of grateful tears the message the angels proclaimed on that Bethlehem hillside long ago. It didn't change the course of one bygone silent night. The good news of great joy changed the course of every silent night to come. Because we don't have a God who merely pierces our darkness, we have a Savior who lingers beside us on our long, silent nights. The prophets foretold it. The angels repeated it. His name confirms it. God with us. And in his presence, we can find everything we need when the quiet quakes noisy. Dear Jesus, thank you for sticking with me, whether I'm full of hope or full of fear. I'm glad my doubts don't diminish your love and my qualms don't offend your faithfulness. Teach me how to rest in your presence when my heart is unsettled. I want to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. That was awesome. Let's stand, and we're going to start with Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Shepherds get their watching, or silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. That's a fun song.
We three kings of Orient are fairy gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, voices raising, worship him God on high. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, sleeping gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leaning, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Little town of Bethlehem. Great is our God, but the words are the Christmas version. So it's still, how great is our God.
Yeah.
It's just the Christmas words.
Mm-hmm. The King of Majesty, born in poverty, a stable for his home, a stable for his home. He wrapped himself in flesh, skin held righteousness. The manger was his throne, the manger was his throne. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. With heaven born to earth, hope began to birth in every human soul, in every human soul. This little life contained the blood to cleanse our stains and wash us white as snow, and wash us white as snow. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. You're the God who makes a way in the darkest of our days. So my heart will say, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. In the darkest of our days, so my heart must say, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Wonderful day to give back. I have something to share with you, and I'll do that in sharing time and pray time. I have something really, really special to share with you about sharing back, giving back. We can't outgive God, but I'd sure like to try. I'd sure like to try what He's done for me, what He's done for each of us. Let's just ask for God's blessing. At the cheerful giving. Yeah, any blessings, brother. Father God, we just want to give this day to you. Bless the gift, bless the giver, as we give back to you joyfully. In the name of Jesus Christ, for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to start off with praises. Anyone want to share a praise? Yes, Haley. Haley shared with us her ankle isn't bothering her anymore. It's being healed, and she's excited. She may not look it, but she is. Amen. And her grandmother's ears are doing better. Vicky's ears are doing better. So jot down as one of our praises and prayers continuing. Any other praises that you want to share before I get on the soapbox? Praise the Lord. Getting better. Rhonda shared the praises with school break, getting forward there, as she's a teacher, as most of us know. She also shared a praise about her father's getting a lot better. He still has a little bumps and bruises and sores here, but he's getting better. And we want to praise God that Ken is getting better, her husband. And there's a lot of changes that Ken needs to make. And we know them. God knows them. We want to lift up those prayers too. And I saw Mike in the back. We're applauding. And those that sign language, that's about all I know. But I wanted to share with you, Mike shared that his second checkup was a big, that wonderful success. And God, we just want to be praising you. Debbie has one up there. I'll get you, Pastor Teresa. Four days she has. All right. Oh, yes. Retirement. Very good. Pastor Teresa. Woohoo! Pastor Teresa wanted to share that she made it back from Jamaica with her sister. And didn't you check into some roots while you were there in Jamaica? Didn't find one, but they're going to find it. She's going to go back. She shared about they took her son in to take him to the airport and had time with him. And she's excited because she gets to see him on his birthday or yours. His birthday coming up next month. Right. Ooh, very good. And then we have Josh. Josh wanted to share with us about the praising of the food boxes. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch that other one, but I wanted to share with you that. Haley, what was that? Yes, we're excited that that Teresa, Pastor Teresa is back with us, safe with us. Fill us. I don't know how to do this one, Phyllis. Phyllis wanted to share with us that they ran into a Santa Claus that not only lived, but he practiced Christianity in his walk among the store, among the others, and expressing the Christmas joy to everyone he met. And thank you. This Santa has never ever had a tip or anything given to him, and a lady came up to this Santa and tipped him $100 bill. And I understand that Santa has already tithed out of it also, so that's something very good to know. But anyway, I wanted to share with you a special blessing. When you go to see our shut-ins, we need to do it. We need to be praising God when we see them. When I went to see Dan and Marie yesterday, dressed in the red suit, you got it. But I was blessed. And then I realized that we all need to make a special effort to go and see them. It means a lot. It means a lot for them to have visitors, and I don't do it enough. So I urge each one of us, make a phone call, drop them a line, go over and see them. It's very special. And just not Dan and Marie, there's Lori, there's many others that you have a special connection away from the church that you need to do this. This is what God is calling us, each and one of us, to. Also, I want to bring up that we are missing Ivan's family in tow. Ivan and Landon are not feeling good at all. Dawson, well, I was told that was Landon, so I don't know which one for sure. I got to put on my phone. So it's Landon then, right? So we want to lift up Dawson. Okay. And Ivan. We want to make sure they're well enough that Claire can get her surgery, get this tonsillectomy, adenoids removed. Any other prayer requests? Okay, so Thomas had the procedure done, and he's recuperating very well and should be excused from the hospital sometime today. Is that what I'm understanding? Perfect. There's a praise, people. God is good. God is good. Any others? Yes, remember Lori. I was talking about our shut-ins. Remember Lori. She's struggling. We just want to lift her up in prayer. We have people that are struggling. God knows that. I'm always struggling with something. But I wanted to share with you a gift that I was given. I went to see a man yesterday, and I asked him, do you know who Jesus Christ is, your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, and I've accepted it. What a blessing. I knelt with him, and as I'm praying, his tears are running down his cheek, and he says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his acceptance of Jesus Christ. What a praise. What a praise. I'm so excited to be there and see that. All right. Father God, we just want to praise you right now, Lord. We're going to lift our praises up to you. You've heard our praises. And God, the praises go up and the blessings come down. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful testimony. What a wonderful experience that we have with the blessings coming down. But those praises go up and up and up. God, we just praise you for and pray for you, those, Lord, that are hurting, that need you. We pray, Lord, for Vicky, Lord, that you continue hearing, heal her hearing and helping her, Lord, to not be dizziness or anything, God. Pray, continue prayers for Ivan and Landon, Lord, giving them health, Lord. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please protect little Claire from all this so that she can have her tonsillectomy and appendix removed and have a good, healthy situation. May that house get healthy, please, God. We're just going to lift them up to you right now. Special prayer for them. Thank you, God. Father God, we're praying, oh Lord, that you be with the food ministry. Be with Sherry and Helen, Lord. Be with Josh. Josh is their feet and their muscles. We're praise God for Josh, Lord. He is awesome. You've done a mighty work in Josh. God, thank you so much. Lord, we just want to praise you for Mike, Lord. And Kim, God, the still the loss of their dear, sweet pet, Lord. But we want to praise you, God, that you strengthen them and give them a blessing and a comfort. Lord, we praise you, Lord, that you just continually bless Ken and as you're healing him and Wanda's father, as you're healing him, Lord, just continue blessing them and blessing Rhonda and her siblings, Lord, as they're taking care of their father, Lord. Thank you, God, for that. Lord, continue blessings with Tom, God, and healing Tom, Lord. We just want to say thank you right there, God. Thank you right there. But continue healing him, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you touch Lori, Lord. Just be with Lori. Thank you, God. Lori Cooper. God, we praise you, Lord, touching Scott, Lord, and his family. My brother Fred, Lord. Praise God for Susie, for Debbie, for Jean, for Lori, for Linda. For each and every one of us here, God, thank you. And for those that aren't here, we thank you, God. Right now, God, a special prayer be upon Pastor Teresa, what she has prepared for us. Open our hearts, open our minds, give God the credit, and thank you, God, for the wonderful, wonderful praising and blessings from you. God, I neglected Susie. God, forgive me. Touch Susie. We love her so much. You love her more. You love her. In Jesus' name, be all the glory and the praise. Amen. I'm going to stay away from that thing. It's lovely. We have a children's song, don't we? Oh, come on, ring those bells. Oh, gee. I don't think I know this one that this well, believe it or not. Did you bring bells? Oh. And we don't have our drums up here, otherwise we... Well, we are children of God, every one of us. Oh, ready, all ready.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with the family. Sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem. The greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring the bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King. Born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember this your birthday.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for allowing us to ring the bell. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to ring that bell. God, bless the children, wherever they are, wherever we are, bless us. God, once again, bless Pastor Teresa as she brings the message to us. In the blessed name of Jesus, our Savior.
Praise the Lord, saints. Thank God for another day, opportunity to be here with you. So, welcome back to our Advent series. The first week, you remember, we talked about hope, a reason to hope. And then last week was about peace, a reason to be peaceful, right? And today we're talking about a reason to be joyful. And I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. This week I'm reading from the New King James translation. So follow along with me. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, and everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Praise God for his holy word. Now, there's a number of things to capture our attention before we dive into the topic of joy. The first is the author of today's passage. I know most of you know who Luke is, right? He was one who followed Christ, and he is identified as the writer of this book under his name, but he's also the author of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Luke emphasizes the historical details of Christ's earliest days and then into his adulthood, unlike Mark and unlike John, who actually begin Jesus' story in his adulthood, right? And then he's also different from Matthew, who shares about Jesus' identity, his lineage, and why he is the Messiah. So each of them puts different emphasis on the life of Christ, all giving account to who Jesus is. So Luke proves that Jesus is God's Messiah by showing that God sends a messenger just like he did in the Old Testament. Luke records an angel appearing to humans with a message from God at least three times by the time we're reading this chapter in the Advent account. So if you go back to chapter one, the first time is with Zechariah, telling him that he will have a son and to name him John. And we know the story of John. John becomes John the Baptizer, who happens to be Jesus' cousin and also the forerunner, telling people to prepare the way, for the Lord is near. So that's John, his cousin. So Zechariah encounters a messenger from God. The second time we see an angel appearing is to Mary herself, to tell Mary that she is going to have a son and that his name should be Jesus. She is surprised about that, but nonetheless is willing to receive what the angel has said to her. And then the third time is this one, where the angel announces the Messiah's arrival to that group of shepherds out there. And the appearance of an angel is important because you may be thinking, okay, big deal. Each of them saw an angel. Well, it's important because angels represent God's presence. If the angel of God, the messenger of God is there, that means by extension, God himself is there. And so this, my friends, is the first reason to be joyful, because God is with us. Just as Jesus' name says, God is with us. So let me read a small portion of the interaction between Zechariah and Gabriel, the angel. Chapter one has Zechariah serving at the temple, and the angel startles him. I think I would be startled by an angel, just telling you now. Sometimes I have that conversation with God. Just don't surprise me like that, okay? That might just do me in. But, you know, Zechariah survived. He was caught off guard. But again, the angel always announces, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to give you some good stuff." So Zachariah is taking his turn to serve at the temple. The angel startles him, but gives him the news of a baby son who will impact the nation of Israel for God's glory. So when you go to chapter 1, verse 18, listen to what it says in a few of the following verses. Zechariah says to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Sounds like somebody else we know, right? Like, wait, what now? I'm old as dirt, she's old as dirt, what's happening? Verse 19, then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. So I'm not just any old person standing here in front of you. I am God's messenger. I came straight from being in his presence. And now I'm standing before you to give you this good news." So Gabriel is trying to explain that his presence means that God himself is present. God himself is speaking these words to you. So Gabriel couldn't represent God without invoking his very presence. Now Gabriel also goes to Mary and tells Mary outright that God is with her. It's different when we experience God's presence and intellectually knowing God is with me, right? I'm sure Jewish people always thought, okay, yes, God is with us, because he's our creator. But it lands differently when a person specifically says to you, "Lori, God is with you." Right? It should have a different impact on you when someone tells you that specifically he's with you. So not only is Gabriel standing in Mary's presence, which means that God is with her, but he speaks to her, "God is with you, Mary." And so Mary's interest is piqued, and she wants an explanation. And so the angel tells her how God is with her and how he will use her to bless the world, not just the nation of Israel, but the entire world. So verse 28 and following says this, "Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.'" Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Powerful words to this young woman who's about to be married and doesn't understand all of these things. And yet God uses her. He is with her. It's a reason to be joyful because God is with us. When the angel announces Jesus' arrival to the shepherds, the description is a repeat from the Old Testament. So if you read chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified." So that phrase, "the radiance of the Lord's glory," those echo the same phrasings from the Old Testament, when anyone who had been in the presence of God would literally glow like a light bulb. They would glow. So that radiance of the Lord's glory refers to God's presence. It refers to his strength. And it's usually associated with light and shining when you read the descriptions from the Old Testament. The Exodus account is actually a perfect example of this, because you're going to find when you go back to the Exodus story several times where it talks about God's presence and the shining. God's power is demonstrated when Pharaoh's army meets their demise in the sea. That's the first time in that Exodus where you see God's presence. You see his power. He actually lets the people of Israel pass, and then he closes that river right on them. And so the enemy is struck down. So you see God's strength there. You see God's power is demonstrated even in Pharaoh himself when he realizes he's lost, right? But God's presence is also demonstrated in that same account of the Exodus when you see the pillar of fire at night glowing. That's God's presence. In the daytime, it's the form of a cloud. Again, showing God's power, showing his presence. And then when you read, it's probably around chapter 24 and following, where you're going to see where Moses goes up and gets the Ten Commandments. He comes back down and he's literally shining, and it frightens people. The mountain itself is also described as being on fire, because it's showing that God himself is there. And I think that's around verse 17 where you see it described as a consuming fire. And when the angel declares the good news of Christ's arrival, it is indeed something to rejoice about, because God is with his people via his messenger, once again, that angel, and also via Jesus Christ himself. That baby is God with us, literally. He is physically with us. And so you may recall the people of Israel are frightened when they see Moses as he returns from being with God. He's literally shining. And so when you read Exodus 34, verses 29 and 30, I'll read that for you, Exodus 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. So Moses wears a veil when he speaks to the people, and then he removes it when he goes back and talks with God. Again, that's shining. Why? Because he's literally been in the presence of God. So the presence of God, it can be frightening, but it's also very comforting. And when you witness the shining and the brightness, it can startle you, which is why the angels are always saying, and they're trying to keep you calm by saying, don't be afraid. God is here. He's with you, and I have a message. You have a reason to be joyful because God is with you. A second reason to be joyful is that Jesus is for all of humanity, all for people who believe. The Jews are looking for the Messiah to arrive and set things right in the world. That part hasn't changed. They're still looking for the Messiah to come and make things right. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 51 speaks about a time when God will exact vengeance on the enemies of Israel. He describes the time when God's wrath will turn away from a straying Israel and be turned on others, those who have been doing Israel wrong. When you follow the story of the Israelites, you realize they're an example for the rest of humanity. Sometimes we do what God tells us to, and sometimes we don't. And then, you know, we kind of get in trouble, and then it's like, oh no, why has God forsaken me? No, he hasn't forsaken you. He's putting you in time out because you were misbehaving. And so Isaiah calls that out. He says, yeah, you know, we are suffering the wrath of God because we haven't been acting right. We haven't been acting right. But there's going to be a day when things are going to change. We're going to come back to God and act right. And he's going to make things right forever and ever. So listen to what Isaiah says, verses 22 and 23. They show the type of Messiah that the Jews are expecting. Listen to these words. This is what the sovereign Lord, your God and defender, says. See, I have taken the terrible cup from your hands. You will drink no more of my fury. Instead, I will hand that cup to your tormentors, those who said, we will trample you into the dust and walk on your backs. So God says, oh, don't worry about them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of them. The angel says to the shepherds that that infant is for all people, not just for the people of Israel. The message they have been may have been hard for them to understand because in that present time, things weren't going so right for the Jewish people. They were under the Roman rule, and the Romans weren't very nice to them. They were being overtaxed all the time, right? So it's not a good thing. There was a high rate of poverty among Jewish people. And then, you know, where you're supposed to be able to seek refuge and have your soul replenished, that's in your church home, that wasn't always happening. Because if you go back and look at why Jesus was always having hard conversations with the religious leaders, just because they actually weren't doing their job right. It's very taxing that if your society doesn't give you a break, you go to the house of God where you should be able to find a break, and you still don't get a break there. What's happening, right? There's very little reason to hope, very little reason to have peace in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit, and very little reason to have joy. What joy would I be having? So when this angel says, no, I'm talking about joy, they're like, okay. Explain, please tell. Why should we be joyful? All of these things are not working out right for us. So that's when the angel says, yeah, but it's about to get better. It's about to get better. So despite those things, there was still something to be joyful about, because the arrival of Jesus meant hope for restoration, meant hope is on the horizon. It's getting closer to things being restored to the way God wants it. Now, for Christians, Jesus' first arrival means we can be joyful about the second arrival. Again, you know, Advent season is not about, oh, let's worship baby Jesus. No, it's baby Jesus came, baby Jesus grew up, and guess what? He's coming back. And that's why we have a reason to be joyful, because he is with us here and now, and we are going to be with him when he comes back. This is why we are joyful, because we believe in the Messiah and his second coming, not just his first. Verse 37, I want to read that again. As the angel told Mary, for the word of God will never fail. That's in that second chapter, verse 37. For the word of God will never fail. This is the promise from God himself. We can stand on that promise because it took a long time for the Messiah to come the first time. And it looks like it's taken a long time for him to come back the second time. But because we know that God was faithful to make things happen the first time, he's not going to change. So this is why we have joy, because we know that he's going to do it again. So with the two reasons to be joyful, you may be thinking, yeah, those are good reasons to be joyful, right? God's with us. That's good stuff. You know, he's going to come back. Good stuff. But how do I make that happen for me on a regular basis? Because I feel like the shepherds, this world is something. It's really something. And I don't know if I can be joyful all the time. How do I make this happen when there's so much darkness, there's so much heaviness happening every day? Well, the answer to that is we have to cultivate joy. Joy is not to be confused with happiness. Now, there's happy and then there's joy. Happiness relies on how well things are going and can be a reflection of our circumstance, right? You get happy because somebody gave me $100. Woo-hoo! I'm happy about that. I'm happy because it's not raining right now. The sun is shining. Awesome. But what's going to happen when it starts raining later on this afternoon? Does my happiness go away? Yeah, because now it's raining. That's happiness. Joy is quite different. Joy is enduring. It endures hardship. It connects with the meaning and with purpose of our life. Joy is a practice that can be intentionally chosen. We have to choose to be joyful. And I know you're thinking, again, well, so how do you do that? Well, here's a couple of ways. A couple of ways to practice joy. First thing, and I love that Brother Bill started us off with, what's some praises? What's some good things you can share? Give thanks, people of God. Stop getting up in the morning and assuming that things just work out because you're a child of God. Stop assuming that. Stop assuming that you should just get all of God's blessings all day long. Wake up and express some gratitude. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you that I'm able to open my eyes. Thank you that I'm able to get out of my bed. Because some people can't get out of their bed unassisted. Some people can't see. Some people can't hear. Whatever the thing is, we take it for granted. I'm just going to get up and get in my car. Because I know I did that this morning. I just got up and walked out, beep, beep, and it opened. But now, what would happen, though, Brother Bill, if I had just assumed it was going to start? Oh, and it didn't. Now I'm all mad at the world. Because my car didn't start. It's not the end of the world because your car didn't start. But just remember, be thankful in all of the small things and not just the big things. Make it a practice. Because as you practice being thankful, being grateful, that's where your joy is going to build. Because you know it's not about the things, not about your circumstance. It's because God is good all the time. Whether the sun is out or whether it's raining, whether you have $100 in your pocket or not, God is still good. And there's a reason to be joyful because he is with us. He lives in our hearts. He empowers us to do his will. So give thanks. Make it a ritual to be grateful and to have a heart of gratitude. You can begin or end your day with reflecting on God's goodness, what you're thankful for. You can also, this is what I like to do at work because, you know, people are taxing, is redirect the negative. When someone's, you know, cutting up, Sister Phyllis, I just attract the people who like to cut up. I don't know what about my spirit just makes them come to me. So when the people around you are cutting up, you don't have to act out with them. You can just say, no, Lord, I'm grateful. Grateful for what my aunt calls that shut mouth grace, where you just, you don't have to say anything. You just smile and you keep it. You just pray for them and you keep it moving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have the opportunity to sit with this person while they vent. Because apparently they don't have anyone else to express that too, right? But I get the opportunity because I can either dive in with them and go, oh yes, the world is horrible. Or I can say, oh, thank you for sharing that. You know what, Donna? I have found, and you just put some shining light right there into their spirit. You don't have to quote a verse from the Bible. Just share some love of Jesus. And it can totally change your situation with that negativity that's in the space. when your car doesn't start. You could say a few words, but you could also choose to say, well, Lord, thank you for my car, even though it's not working right today. I pray that you would give me a good mechanic that's going to charge me the right amount and not cheat me out of my monies, and that this could be resolved quickly, right? Thank you that I have the opportunity to order an Uber or get a Lyft or ask my next door neighbor to give me a ride, right? We have alternatives. Practice being grateful. The other thing I would also say is pray and meditate on God's word. Because as you really get to know God's word, you can't help but be joyful. It's going to be in your spirit. When you read God's word, you remind yourself of who God is and how powerful he is. If you choose to memorize just one verse, one small verse, or even a phrase, memorizing that so that you can meditate on it the rest of the week. And that's what builds us. That's what gives us resiliency so that despite all of the negative things, you know, you watch TV, you watch the news, and you go, wow, this is really something. There's wars and there's rumors of wars. There's chaos in our leadership of our nation. How can we be joyful? Because we know the answer. God is with us. He is going to turn things around. Amen. And I know that this is not my permanent home. So I'm not going to be with you crazies forever. Jesus is coming for me. So I don't know what y'all going to do, but I'm going to be home with Jesus, right? Amen. So just live your life remembering that you represent Jesus. So in the craziness, be that light. Just like Moses was physically shining because he was in God's presence, we should be shining because we've studied his word, we've read his word, we're praying for God's will to be done, to use us to do his will, so that no matter where we are, we're shining all for God's glory, so that someone else can capture the joy and understand our joy. So I want to close with reminding you of the words of the angel. I bring you tidings of great joy. And that word great is mega. Mega joy. Super big joy. Those who have a restored relationship with God through Jesus, his Messiah, can experience joy daily, despite the instability of our world, despite the instability of our circumstance. Why? Because we know that God is with us and he is for us. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for your holy word. Such a simple story of how your angel showed up over and again to say, Jesus is coming. Prepare the way. Jesus is here. Go and see for yourself. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder that baby Jesus isn't a baby. He has grown up. He has died for us. He has been resurrected for us. He is with you now in your presence and will be coming back for the rest of us who believe in your Messiah. Thank you, God. We ask now that you would just stir this word in our hearts, that as we remember the words of Advent, hope and peace and joy, that we would go and spread those thoughts. Share them with our neighbors. Share them with the people at the store. Share them with the people when we're standing in line at the bank, wherever we are, God, that we would be your representative, just like the angel was. Help us to shine for your glory so that others will know who you are. We thank you, God. Thank you for entrusting us with such a precious, precious, and mighty ministry. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. All right, let's close with the song, and then I'll come back with our benediction.
All right, we're going to stand and we're going to close with I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and often sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And feel the bells worn out and deep, God is not dead nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Fit right in there.
Yeah.
I love the theme of the bells ringing. Yes, announcing that the King is here, that Savior was born just for us. So go, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that Jesus is here. You may not physically hear a bell ringing, but know that bells have rung. Just as we rang bells at the beginning of our service, as we do each Sunday, Jesus is here. He is with you. Wherever you go, he is there to guide you, to love you, to show you the way, and to inspire you to be that guide, to be that way for others, people around you. So go, shine your light, share the love of Jesus Christ, tell others about our hope, our joy, our peace. Amen? Until we meet again, God be with you.